following podcast is brought to you by the Communications and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. I'm DJ Moco, and this is Creasing Corners. Grab a drink, get cozy, and get ready to read between the lines. Welcome to episode 3. Today we're going to be talking about the Kaiju Preservation Society. And this is by John Scalzi. You may or may not be familiar with John Scalzi's work. If you're not, he is the author of Starter Villain, which is another book similar to this, the one we're about to cover. He's written Old Man's War, Red Shirts as well. Old Man's War and Red Shirts are more of his serious work. Starter Villain and Kaiju Preservation Society, those are two completely different books from his more serious work. And I say serious work, meaning those are his well thought out and written with substantial information in them, or substantial storyline, I mean. Whereas Starter Villain and Kaiju Preservation Society is a one-off silly book for readers who want to take a break from something hefty. Kaiju Preservation Society was published in 2022, close to Starter Villain. He got in this phase of writing one-offs. So this genre, and I don't want to mislead you, I will tell you how it is science fiction. And that's what it says on the internet. But I think it's science fiction for sure. It's also some kind of comedy. I'm not saying that it's on purpose, like a memoir, similar to comedians writing their own books. But it's got humorous themes in there and a lot of humorous dialogue. So overall, this book is science fiction. If you're looking for some fun, exciting science fiction, this is it. Let's dive into the story. This story takes place during COVID, surprisingly. So, 2020 era, when COVID-19 has spread, we have our main character, Jamie Gray, gets fired. Okay, I want to preface, Jamie Gray is a ambiguous gendered character. When I was looking up this book, that's how I found out. This whole time I thought Jamie Gray was a man. And honestly, I want to refer to him that way. But I think it would be easier if I allow you to determine the gender of this character if you decide to read it. So Jamie Gray gets fired from their job at a big delivery food company called Food Mood. When he gets fired, he's offered a position, but this position is a position anyone can get. Uber Eats, DoorDash, it's that kind of company, so anyone can join and get money from that. How anyone can get on that app and make money, but not within the company like Jamie Gray was. So they become a delivery driver for that app. When delivering food, he bumps into Tom. He delivers food to Tom, this new person in the story. And he actually knows Tom, but not a whole lot. And Tom sort of introduces himself again, saying that he works at a quote-unquote animal rights organization. And Jamie is out here looking for a job. And here's Tom offering him a job. He says, the team needs a last-minute grunt to handle things on the next visit, so carrying things back and forth. And Jamie agrees to that very quickly. And this sort of organization has groups coming in every 6 months, so he had to sign up very quickly. My beginning opinions are, I would not recommend reading this. I would not recommend reading this if you're looking for a substantial read. I'll get into why later in the podcast, but it's purely for amusement, laughs, jokes. It's a fun read, though I wouldn't say it's beautifully written, which I don't think Scalzi aims for anyway. I want to get into the humor of this book, because I think it's pretty prominent enough for me to say that it's considered the genre, comedy. it is a humorous read. It's entertaining in that way, and it's amusing. There's some swearing here and there. Actually, there's a lot. And it's sometimes unnecessary, which makes it funny enough. If you're unfamiliar with what kaiju means, think of Godzilla. That's a kaiju. It's a fake monster. Think about the Godzilla movies, honestly. Those are kaiju. Things are that are huge, and they're monsters, and can destroy a lot of things all at once. The Kaiju Preservation Society is a society that takes care of these kaiju and makes sure that they remain alive. And yes, this is a different world. They go through some kind of portal to go into this world and preserve these kaiju. I want to delve into some aspects that are humorous in this book. There are two important kaiju, and they're male and female. Their names are Edward and Bella. And yes, they're named after the ones in Twilight. Edward and Bella. There's some pop culture, although this is pretty, Twilight's pretty old now, that weaves its way into this novel. Another one was Star Wars. They mentioned George Lucas. Jamie is not that smart. He's humorous and he's naive. He pushes the plot and makes it less serious. We're not as at the edge of our seat as we would be if it was a serious novel. I want to read some passages out that remind me of the humor. There's a lot more than this. There are funnier ones, but these were the ones that I think are friendly to introduce. And it's sort of getting into the writing choices, the writing style of him. These are one of the only times we get no dialogue. I pulled my hand back like I had landed on something hot. The skittering thing stopped and started waving a series of antennae around. I looked at the thing, and some part of my brain was trying to place it. After a second, I knew what it reminded me of. A coconut crab. Those big Pacific Island monsters that could grow a meter long and were smart enough to crack open coconuts by dropping them from trees. Except you're uglier, I thought to the thing. By a lot. And then he goes on to say the F word about three times. At that moment, we actually get into Jamie's mind. The beginning of the story, we are, but as we introduce more characters and see a lot more people and interactions, it's a lot more dialogue. Jamie is full of questions and opinions. He's always surprised and curious most of the time. He's a likable main character and moves the story with his humor and his curiosity. The point of having a curious character is so that you, as an author, can have a reason to expand and to give reasons. He makes friends with the scientists that come, the newbies, I guess. So the reader gets info about the kaiju and how it works and how these animals live. And he is constantly making jokes or being humorous in his reactions. It's not often we're in his head. He's not alone a lot. But there's a passage where it's not even that funny, but it's some kind of humor. I went into the dining hall and perused my choices. There's water, tea, coffee, juice that looked like orange juice, but I don't know, could have been poop fruit or something. There was also a soda fountain, but our in-room base guides had warned us to be moderate with its use, because otherwise the syrups would run out fast. I thought that part really got us in the head of Jamie. Not enough. Of course, I said there's nothing much of substance in here. The only thing that we get that's pretty deep is the ending, but also his reaction to getting fired and seeing his boss again. Those are some real emotions. Other ones are just humorous fear. He's the only person in his friend group that gets to be on the quote-unquote ground the most, and the ground consists of these other creatures, like he's described before, the coconut crabs. Here are some character decisions that I'm honestly really happy with. Of course, we have Jamie Gray, who's ambiguously gendered. There's Aparna, biology expert. Kaharangi is a chemist. And Neve is a scientist, specifically a physicist and astronomist. And there's Sadie, the pilot. And the pilot's really important in this, too. I don't want to spill too much about it. So there's a lot of diversity in this book with genders and backgrounds. For example, Jamie Gray, ambiguously gendered grunt in Kaiju Preservation Society. We have Neve, who's also non-binary. And then there's also just enough people of color in this book that I appreciated. But there's not a lot of descriptors for the characters looks-wise, so that sort of makes it hard to read or imagine. But it's all up to you. For me, it wasn't that big of a deal. And there's often not a lot of conflict or drama within the group. The conflict comes from the Kaiju and the people who fund the Kaiju Preservation Society. And it turns into a whole plot twist at the end, as John Scalzi has done with Starter Villain as well. Some writing choices that I was surprised by to see consistently was dialogue. There is a lot of dialogue. There's never a chapter without dialogue, which is okay. I think there's a lot of books that are like that, but I would say it's 90% dialogue each chapter. As a creative writing major, imagery is a great tool, but so is dialogue. Dialogue can run the story, and that's okay. A lot of people on Goodreads did not like that. We have a lot of imagery by our main character, which can be humorous, but it's not as much dialogue. This main character talks a lot. Some non-dialogue paragraphs are straight to the point and gives you the descriptors that you need to imagine. Here's this part. We hit Edward with 3 more blasts before we got to the Valley of Bella. She was awake, had her wings out, and if possible was even more objectively terrifying than Edward. Not a whole lot of descriptors, and then it goes into more dialogue. What John Scalzi does good is that he gives his characters their own voice. So you can tell the differences within the group, and that's something I appreciate. Something I recognized about this book is that John Scalzi was able to implement science fiction effectively. We know what kaiju is now. It's Godzilla, basically, Godzilla creatures. But he's made it more accessible to understand and has made it more realistic in this book. The reason why there are scientists hired, different kinds of scientists like chemists and biologists, is because the biologist trying to figure out how this entity works, how this creature works. And there's a chemist who are using chemicals and hormones to help the kaiju reproduce. These things are nuclear bombs. They also go into detail about how they always have parasites attached to them and how this kaiju is a living space for these parasites. This parasite needs the kaiju and the kaiju needs the parasites because it's protecting them from other things. So these kaiju are really well thought out in this book. The meaning of the book, is there any theme? Maybe, but it's not apparent. There really isn't one. I think it could be teamwork, or it could be payback. It could be being brave and taking a leap, but it's nothing too big. So I think it's an easy read. This is a chill read after you've read something like It, or Catcher in the Rye, or The Bell Jar. This is something that you could sit down and read pretty quickly and you'd be entertained. It wouldn't be too hefty or too dense. For everything I've just discussed, the science fiction, the dialogue, the character designs, the kaiju designs, I'm giving this a 7 out of 10. It's entertaining and it's a nice break from harder literature, but it's not... Well, this is a personal rating. I'm not rating it based off how much of a intellectual story it is. I'm basing it off entertainment and my own opinion. This is a 7 out of 10 for me. I would recommend this book to a lot of people. But of course, if you're looking for something of substance, this will not be for you. John Scalzi has been on the Hugo Awards list as a nominee and has gotten close to winning. So you can trust that this book is good. It's just a different kind of good. Anyhow, that was Kaiju Preservation Society by John Scalzi. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next week.